on Wednesday, the 27th of March. March is almost over. The purpose of the day is to get your vehicles checked out, cars, trucks, motorcycles, make sure the oil's changed. You got fresh oil filters, fuel filters, air filters. The tires are checked out properly. If you don't know how to do it, check with a qualified mechanic to make sure it's done right. All right, we have patient Wayne Green and my friend Jeff Nyquist. And Jeff began a quest 38 years ago. Is that right, Jeff? 38 years ago?
Something like that.
Something like that. Close. To understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Commons Conspiracy. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His book for sale at amazon.com. And at Jeff's website, jrnyquist.blog, you'll find one, occasionally two, excellent articles each week. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, the big news since we talked last week is the bridge in Baltimore being knocked down by this cargo ship. Mike Flynn, who I met a couple of weeks ago, believes it's a black swan event. It's shut down, the ninth largest port in the world, for we don't know how long. And I interviewed this morning a friend of mine I've known for more than 10 years. He was in the U.S. Navy helping guide ships that size through harbors. So he has some personal expertise. And he says he talked about all the safeguards built in to make sure that can't possibly happen. There's a lot of speculation, no evidence yet, that this is a matter of sabotage and or terrorism. If it was terrorism or sabotage, it certainly would give aid and comfort to our enemies, wouldn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, well, Viktor Suvorov, the GRU defector, wrote about these kind of accidents occurring shortly before World War III, that they would not necessarily be accidents.
Well, that's very insightful, isn't it?
Yeah, that's in a book titled Spetsnaz that was written in 1987. He said that part of Soviet strategy for World War III is a period called Great Terror in advance of the war in which there would be some terrorist incidents, but there would also be all these accidents, these acts of sabotage, which appeared to be accidents. And, of course, we've had some unusual statistics regarding, you know, fires and, you know, we've had all these forest fires for the last 3-4 years. My sources in China and Russia, people out of there, have said for the last 4 years since the pandemic that there was a push for starting World War III on the part of China. And, of course, not only did the pandemic hurt the economy, economies of many countries, especially the U.S. and the West, but it also has, we've also seen some of these kind of accidents that we've never seen. Now, it could be growing carelessness and part of the general degeneration of conscientiousness in our society. That's possible. People breaking rules. We live with rules, but I have noted that many Americans, many people today don't want any rules. They don't want to follow any rules. So that could be part of it too, but
it could be.
But this terrorist attack in Moscow, which I think is the highest casualty shooter event that I think in history, is also suggestive, because when you have these kind of events occurring, a provocation, it could be an alibi. We don't know what it is yet, because the powers that are traditionally set up for sabotage, that have these agent networks for conducting such operations, well, Russia is one of those powers, as well as China and Cuba.
Well, you're not surprised by these attacks, are you, Jeff? You've been anticipating them for years, haven't you?
Well, I when you read the literature written by defectors from inside the GRU and the KGB, who are familiar with plans and strategies and methods, you read about these things as being part of these larger strategies to have a war. And when you have an actual war in Europe between Ukraine and Russia, and you have threats of the use of nuclear weapons, and you have massive preparations and mobilizations in Russia and China, and you hear about other communist countries being warned to keep their leadership cadre underground, or a part of their leadership cadre underground, rather, you are naturally worried where this is going and what's going to happen next. So when an event like what happened in Baltimore happens, you think, could this be gray terror? Could this be sabotage? You know, not knowing the specifics, how such a large ship could collide into this bridge and take it down, it's unthinkable. I mean, I don't remember accidents like that through my childhood. Or, I mean, can you think of any accident like this in the last?
Not really, Jeff. My friend who was with us for the last 10 minutes of the first hour, he was with the U.S. Navy helping ships of that size go in and out of harbors dozens and dozens of times. And there's multiple safeguards to make sure an accident like this can't possibly happen. His opinion is that the computer system that ran the ship was hacked, and that that's what caused the incident to happen. Where I'm not going to call it an accident anymore. I believe it was an intentional event.
You know, this is the thing about relying on computers. People want all the convenience of computers doing things for them, but they've got to understand that when, you know, people talk about human error, I think, you know, this is why I'm against these self-driving cars. You have a system which not only is subject to glitches, which we all know machines have and computers have, you know, but you also have a machine that can be hacked or that can be maliciously interfered with by somebody from the outside the machine, because all of these machines are connected to the internet. And of course, they can, and even if they're not, somebody who is malicious can plug into that machine, can get on that ship and put a joystick or whatever else, a joystick, what do you call it, a thumb drive. Put a thumb drive into that thing with something in it that's going to corrupt that file. So, you know, I don't know that that happened, but it's a concern. I think our society has made itself vulnerable without thinking about security, without thinking about the enemies that might use those systems to attack us.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure that every person on that ship is being taken into some kind of custody and will be interviewed by some of the best criminal investigators that there are. The ship itself is probably being held to go through those computers by computer experts. The bridge will be looked at. I saw videos that made it appear there could have been explosive charges on that bridge. I don't know that, but that's the appearance I got from some of these videos. Jeff, we already got our first caller. We got Fred in Wisconsin. Good morning, Fred.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I was in Tampa when that bridge went down, and that basically was hit by a ship. And I remember watching that very closely, and, you know, the ship hit it, and then this whole section went down. That was the interstate running south toward Fort Myers. And
what year did that happen?
It was in the 1980s sometime. I don't have the exact date, but it was in the 1980s. I was there. My mother had a home in Clearwater, and I was there when I used to take that bridge to run south in the Sarasota. So they did rebuild it. It took a long time, but that was a ship that hit that. And the most horrible picture I remember is the Greyhound bus that was, you know, that stretch was, you know, 50, 60 miles an hour, and guy just went right off. And then they had a crane, they pulled the thing up upside down, and, you know, nobody got out of that bus. So it's, yeah, it did take place. You could probably Google it. I just wanted to comment that it has happened, and not terribly long ago. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that event.
I don't recall that incident. It seems like a major deal, but
did it close? But the economic consequences, did that close a major port? Did that cause a strategic event? I mean, was it the closing of a highway? Was it significant like the closing of the ninth major port in the world?
Right. I don't, Fred's not with us anymore. Fred, you're gone, all right? Okay, yeah. I think Fred's gone. Well, those are questions that will have to remain unanswered for the time being. And you're right, Jeff. The combined ports, there's nine ports inside that bridge. The combined shipping capacity is the ninth largest on the planet. It's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, accidents happen all the time, but accidents that actually have such huge economic impact as closing down such a huge series of port facilities, I mean, that is a trade, the place where trade is received and where, think about all the businesses dislocated. It's a huge dislocation. Closing of a road, yeah, people can probably go around. That's an inconvenience. But actually shutting down that much port capacity, I wonder. And if it happens somewhere else, you know, and then there's the expense. But, the history of these accidents, I'm not familiar. But it's but I think we have had a lot of, I just think of the forest fires on the West Coast, where 4 years ago, the sky was so blackened out. I was living in California at the time. At 11 a.m., I couldn't see the sun. And it really? Was as dark as 10. It was 10 a.m., and I thought it could easily have been 10 p.m.
Okay.
I'd never seen smoke like this from those fires. There'd never been fire. So much of California was burning. And of course, there was, you know, it was believed people must have been setting those fires because they were breaking out all along Oregon and California. A tremendous burning. And so, I don't know. But I'd lived in California at that point for more than 30 years, and I had never seen. I'd lived in Northern California for more than 23 years. I'd never seen anything like that, anything near to that. That it made me wonder, and here it was, the first year of the pandemic, and there were riots during that summer, so where there had been a lot of fire set during the riots. So there's these possibilities to think that people do these things destructively. Of course, the thing in Baltimore could be just an accident, you know, and they may never find out, because if somebody did do something that caused it. You know, what did they say? There was a power outage on the ship, is what the news was reporting?
Right. Well, the video showed the power going out twice, at least, that I saw.
Well, if the power goes out on a ship and it's run by a computer,
what they're designed to do is to keep on the current course without deviation. That's what the inherent design is. But it changed course. It came back with a hard right rudder when the power came back on. Which, according to my friend, the Navy veteran, that can't happen with the normal system. So I got some good news in this regard. There's a bridge in San Diego that would block, if it was down, could block the harbor with all the Navy ships in their major port. It's built so that if it was blown up, the bridge would float on top of the water, not sink. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it?
Well, that's thinking ahead. There were people who thought ahead in the old days. I guess military traffic, the military is going to actually think its problem through in advance. That's a good thing.
Right. Well, no doubt the military had some input in that bridge built in San Diego.
I'm sure that's the case.
Absolutely. Okay. What update, if any, do you have on the war in Ukraine, sir?
It's continuing to go. The Russians are inching forward, but they're suffering terrible casualties. And, there's promised, Europe is attempting to promise to deliver the needed ammunition. The Czech Republic claims they have sources that they can contribute. Of course, You know, it's, I think it's 300,000 shells. It's not, you know, it's enough to last them a little while, but it's hard to know what the actual situation is. The Russians have announced that they are raising, they're increasing the size of their army, which this is not just a draft to create, you know, to fill up losses. They're going to create 14 new divisions and 16 new brigades, which is about the equivalent of two full-strength field armies, which none of their field armies are full-strength right now, right, as I understand it, which is interesting because that's a significant increase over what they have. And it would, you know, when they initially invaded Ukraine with 200,000 men, this is 200,000 new formations, which means, and they expect to have them deployed by the end of the year. That's quite extraordinary. That gives us some intelligence. It means that they don't think the war is going to end this year, that they're looking at 2025. So that's what that suggests. And it suggests that they're going to build a longer line, that they're going to probably try to go through Belarus again, come through that way. And that they must have the industrial capacity. They must have built up their armament so that they have the vehicles, the artillery systems, and the tanks and weapons to equip that many new divisions and brigades. And this announcement was made by Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu. so it's rather interesting.
It is.
To say the least. So you could say this is a significant mobilization, which is going to increase the size of the Russian army. Well, at least the Russian army on that side of the country by about, it's a 25% increase, as I understand the numbers. In the number of standing divisions and brigades. You know, whether they're full strength or not at the moment.
There's been no talk that I'm aware of any peace talks or ceasefire in Ukraine. Are you aware of any, sir?
Well, there's some kind of secret negotiations going on.
Is there?
Okay. And I've heard that from different sources. And what they are and how far they get, I mean, it's nobody is saying anything. So I don't know what that is exactly, except that I've caught snippets from people who know more than I do that something is happening, but don't know what that is.
Well, the secret means secret, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would guess both sides, without having the risk of exposing their positions, are probably being urged by their allies to have a discussion. Probably it's just to see... just to sort of test each other out is my guess. It's probably not serious.
We have a break. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Company will fix bayonets! Fix! Attention!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. If you have issues with pain, issues with sleep, I got something that'll help. It's called the Energy Cleaner. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on Energy Cleaner. Details at my website, thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. Jeff, before we get to our next caller, we got a couple on hold. How can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button below every article or video, every installment, and they can support the site that way.
Absolutely. Our first caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
I have a question about hacking. First of all, at the beginning of the war, there was a rash of hacking into the Russian computer systems, and there was carrying off of, I don't know, with gigabytes of information from their central from the Kremlin and other areas. I don't know how significant that was or how real that was, but they were also hacking into their people's television sets and doing Kilroy type stuff. What is going on about that? What happened? I haven't heard anything of that since.
Explain that to me. What do you mean?
I mean, there was hacking that went on in the from groups of hackers getting into the Kremlin and stealing information out of it, and, you know, getting into people's television sets and even messing up the computer system and Russian tanks.
I don't know anything about that. I mean, it would be any kind of hacking that happened or allegedly happened in the Kremlin, that would be something you basically can't trust anything coming out of Russia. They could claim they were hacked and they weren't, or they could be hacked and they could be saying something not quite exactly correct about the hacking. So it's almost, you know, useless to speculate. We don't really understand what goes on over there. One thing I do know from talking to experts on this whole subject of cyber defense and cyber warfare is Russia and some of those countries, Russia and China, are very good at you know, doing this to other countries, of hacking into systems, but their defenses are rather poor. They're not very good at cyber defense. So it's not too surprising that maybe some Russian hackers themselves, or maybe Ukrainians, could have gotten in and done something to the Kremlin. Remember, they're at war with Ukraine, and so they are open game, since they've been trying to hack into Ukrainian systems. So this is a weakness that the Russians have. So it's possible something, you know, I mean, some damage was done.
How could they be planning? They planned on hacking the enemy, but why didn't they put up sufficient or better defense against them being hacked? If you think the enemy isn't going to think of that, they got more hackers out in the West than they are in probably in Russia. More computer savvy people.
Well, the Russians have, you know, this goes to the mentality. The KGB, the Russians, have been so good at espionage and so good at the secret war, so to speak, and they've always been on the offensive and had their enemies back on their heels, and they have so many agents within the West that they probably didn't think that anything like that would matter. I give you an example. The head of the FSB some years ago, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, he got hacked, and his you wouldn't believe it, but his password was Moscow 1, if I remember correctly. And so somebody easily figured it out, hacked in. So he changed his password to Moscow 2, and it happened again. So this is not, you know, you just go, I've worked with government systems as a contractor in the past, and I know that the password protections are a lot better than that in different branches of the of state government here in the U.S. You can bet that our cybersecurity is a lot better than that. But if that's what the head of the secret police in Russia has done to his own, you know, his own personal security, you can just imagine how the Kremlin is vulnerable to hacking. So that would be my comment, is that, they probably got hacked, and it was probably the Ukrainians, but it could be just about anybody, because their defenses are so chronically weak.
Yeah, and they even, I mean, there were other people, I think they did it on behalf maybe of the Ukrainians. Some of them just decided to do, I don't know if they did it, decided to do it themselves, but they actually had gave a list of all the information, of the amount of information in terms of gigabytes of different kinds of stuff that they stole. And and he goes, also, why are they making new units rather than...
We'll go right back. We have a break.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue, and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. What's a girl to do? Sign, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com. And Sleepless, there is a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner and The Liberty Man, I'm sleepless no more. There he is now. Hold on, Sandman. Thank you, Liberty Man.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you meet it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question, the only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. If you want to get up to speed on the worst crime in human history, the consequences of the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot, my panel at my website will do that for you. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, the website's jrnyquist.blog. And you were giving a more comprehensive answer to John. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I think I gave the answer. Is John okay. Still there?
You still there, John? You got some
I'm still
here.
Yes, I'd like to know why they are making all these new units and they're not bringing up to strength the ones that they already have, or at least consolidating them before they put anything new in and giving them the equipment and you know, and replacing the equipment losses that they've already taken to their present units and bringing them up to full combat potential. Readiness.
Well, I would assume that they have that as a plan as well. There's some kind of large mobilization. If they're going to increase the size of the standing Russian armed forces by 200,000, they obviously are going to at the same time bring the other units up to full strength. So they wouldn't be just expanding the units. Of course, who knows? They could have this intention, and they could be unable to do what they... I mean, it's quite an accomplishment in the middle of a war when they so far haven't been able to expand their force. They have done some small expansions, but this is rather significant. It shows that they're demonstrating to Europe by making this announcement that they're going to fight for however long it takes, and they've got the grit that Europe doesn't have. I think some analysts have made the suggestion that this is an attempt to intimidate the West.
It's just that their current units that they have seem to be very from the film and the stuff that's been coming out on the the U.S. Army veteran and others indicates that they're that the units that they presently have are very deficient and deficient in up to date, they're not using the best equipment, they're using hand-me-down junk.
Yeah, they've been attacking, so they've been taking heavy losses. So of course their units, they need to fill up the units and replace the losses of men and machines. But they've shown a capacity to be able to do that because they've renewed their offensives.
Are they putting propaganda and bravado ahead of is their priority rather than what is more than what should be their real priority, which is bringing their what they already have up to strength first before they start doing anything, making anything new or consolidating it? Or how do you really do it? The Germans,
it's why it's so extraordinary that they are creating new formations. I mean, during World War II, Hitler and the Germans, when many of his units were under strength, he was continually had this thing for creating new formations during the war, Hitler did. And that was one of the questions, is why did he do this when he couldn't fully equip some of the divisions he already had? And we don't really know why he did it. Maybe because he thought he was going to have the replacements to put everything at full strength. And maybe at certain moments in the war, he did or he thought he was going to come up with the manpower. Maybe the Russians believe they are going to be able to have the capacity to do this. That's why they planned it. But then when they go to carry it out, they won't be able to. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see if they can actually, you know, field. I mean, I don't understand how you can field, for example. I understand why they've broken it into brigades and divisions, by the way, new divisions. It takes, now this is, American military person's going to laugh at this, but it takes 2 years to train a Russian division commander. It takes a lot more than that to train an American division commander, but so how are you going to create a new division in less than 2 years? Where are you going to get the division commanders? You're going to train them in less than a year? Or has this been in the works a while and they've been training the commanders and we just don't know about it? I don't know the answer. We'll find out when they field these new, if they're able to field these new formations, and what effect they'll have on the war if these just turn out to be more of the same, you know, just very poor, poorly led, poorly equipped, unable to do the job. We'll see. Maybe it won't be. Maybe we're going to be surprised at what they come up with.
Well, okay, we need to move on. We need to move on, John. We've got enough time for your questions. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Eric in New York. Morning, Eric.
How you doing today? Thanks for taking my call. I tuned in a little late today, so if you already covered this with Professor McCanny, just jump in and interrupt me. This is from livescience.com. Earth hit by radiation from a rare double X-class solar flare, triggering the most powerful geomagnetic storm in 6 years. Now, I'm going to tie this in with the ship, because if I'm not mistaken, most of these big vessels rely on GPS heavily and other systems that would be potentially disrupted by a powerful geomagnetic storm. A recent X-class flare, which was split into two simultaneous explosions, launched a coronal mass ejection that smashed into Earth, triggering the most powerful disruption to our planet's magnetic field for more than 6 years. Now, if I'm going to just let me scroll down here and tell you what they mentioned, very interesting. The increased frequency of these gargantuan explosions make geomagnetic storms more likely. In addition to colorful auroras, these storms can also impact ground-based infrastructure and cause satellites to tumble back to Earth. Now, if they can knock a satellite out of Earth's orbit and cause it to crash down to the planet, I certainly think it might be, logical to deduce that the power, this storm, which is categorized as a G4, by the way, G5 is the strongest. This was a G4 magnetic storm. And what do you think about the fact that it could have possibly disrupted the positioning of that ship and caused that accident to occur?
Well, that's coronal mass ejection was already finished before the ship had the incident that took place there.
Don't they have an effect for longer than just an immediate couple of seconds? I think these things last sometimes for hours, don't they?
Well, I don't have the timeline in front of me, but I believe it was well over days before that took place. I'm pretty sure there, okay. Eric.
Yeah, well, it seemed very, very close to. I mean, I think it was within 12 hours, because when I first the accident occurred yesterday, and the magnetic storm was occurring just the day before that. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, something over, the storm was over. Yeah, we you know, it's good. It's all speculation, but the storm was already over. We're going to move on, Eric. Thank you for your call. We got Fred in Wisconsin. Good morning, Fred.
Yeah, I was able to look this up on the Tampa Bridge. So the Skyway was a huge Skyway that went across the bay. Tampa Bay is a serious port, by the way. And what had happened was the ship was coming into Tampa Bay, and it hit the section on the Gulf side and knocked it into the water. So they still had one span of it going across on the other side. Because it was like a four-lane highway or a six-lane highway. So that happened in 1980, and they were able to navigate it because they could get the debris out right away. And then it took some time to actually rebuild that section of the bridge, but it did happen in 1980, and a ship did hit it. And Tampa Bay, as far as a port is concerned, is pretty large in terms of all the traffic out of South America and various places, and a lot of the stuff that goes through the Panama Canal ends up in Tampa. So I wanted to double-check and make sure that I had the right information, but that did take place in 1980, and it took a while to rebuild it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Fred. Jeff, let's go to our next caller from Canada, Happy Moose in Canada. Good morning, Happy Moose.
Good morning, gentlemen. Do you hear me well?
We hear you fine. Go ahead.
Excellent. I wanted to chime in about the new two armies that Putin wants to create. So I heard through the grapevine that prior to the invasion of Ukraine, Putin asked his professional military, so not the conscript military, but the professional military, if they'd be willing to invade Ukraine. The answer came back to Putin asking him, is he insane doing such an invasion? So what Putin had to do was actually put his professional top-grade military on the borders of China, protecting that side of Russia, and then using a largely conscript army to invade Ukraine on the west side. And so with that conscript army, he's having mediocre results. He's grabbed some territory, given some back. Right now, there's give and take on the territorial side. But for an actual breakthrough to happen, Putin really needs to put those troops that he's holding back on the Chinese side, he's got to put them on the west side. And so by creating the two extra armies, he'll be able to put those on the Chinese side, moves his professional-grade army to the west side. A lot of people have floated the idea or the concept that Putin is being a nice guy by not using his professional army and holding back. It's not really that he's holding back. If he puts his professional army that's protecting the Chinese side on the west, China actually has plans on the shelf ready to go to invade Russia right up to the Urals. And Putin knows that, so he can't really move those guys easily. And so with that, I'll listen to the comments.
What is your source for this? Where are you getting this from?
So this is someone with contacts in the right places. I'm not speaking directly to anybody, so it's definitely through a cutout. You know, I've actually been sitting on that for a while. I haven't called in right away with that theory. But now it's a little bit more.
Do you have a name? Is this a known person?
I wouldn't say it would be a known person, because in Russia, anywhere that there's a leak in information, it's going to get plugged up pretty quickly by the FSB. So people are really careful about...
You see, a lot of these supposed leaks are disinformation. Most of what you hear that comes out of Russia or China is disinformation, and that is particular disinformation. For those people familiar with defectors and people whose lives are threatened and whose names are known, people like Colonel Stanislav Lunev, who passed away in 2020, this idea, I mean, Lunev would laugh at the idea that China's going to attack Russia. And Lunev spoke fluent Mandarin. He worked in China for the main intelligence directorate of the Russian General Staff. Russia and China are allied. They're not enemies. And Russia has given so much technology, especially nuclear technology and missile technology, to China. They wouldn't do that if they feared that China was going to attack them. In fact, China is not massing its forces on the Russian border. They're moving forces from the border with India to the coasts right now. And I spoke to Mr. Wang of Luda Media, who has had sources in China who got arrested. He's the one who smuggled out a year ago last May a 57-minute tape of a military-civil meeting where they were discussing a future war with the United States, not a future war with Russia. And what Mr. Wang told me then was that the troops that Russia was keeping, the higher quality troops that Russia was keeping in the Far East, was to attack the United States and Japan with when the war broke out in the Pacific. And that that the Russians and the Japanese, there were the FSB letters out of Paris showing that the Russians and the Chinese were discussing, had a discussion before the invasion of Ukraine about attacking Japan, and that the Chinese were urging the Russians to help them defeat Japan. And the Russians said, no, we have to do this thing in Ukraine first. So the Russians, I mean, Vladimir Putin went to Beijing shortly before he invaded Ukraine, and they announced an alliance, a combination they called more powerful than anything since World War II. And it wasn't the first such meeting that they'd had. So I don't, you know, this is the kind of information, probably spurious, if it even did come from Russia, or it's just somebody who's claiming to have information that really doesn't. Because those of us familiar those countries and talking to people from those countries, that is not what we're hearing at all.
So I'd like to offer the idea that potentially both ideas are valid at the same time. So Russia perhaps may have an agreement or may be working with China, and those plans that you discuss may actually be in place and have happened, and the discussions have happened. I agree that, you know, I do not contradict that. But also from the Russian point of view, they may have an ulterior motive. And so even though they may have agreed to have those troops handy for a Pacific conflict, they also play a secondary role in case there's a double cross on the Chinese side, or the Russians double cross the Chinese. There's always that little possibility. They may be working together right now, but what is the future after they're victorious over the West, say? What are they going to do next between themselves?
That's a big if. If you're going out to defeat the West and you're the number two and number three powers financially and militarily in the world, you aren't going to betray each other. It's like a bank robbery. The bank robbers aren't going to betray each other before they have the loot.
Happy Moose, thank you for your call.
Exactly.
Jeff, we'll get back from the break. We'll give you a summary for the day, sir. Hold on.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yogavaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the Gold Mountain and Medical Symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool. Turn there, I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on a frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Jeff, got about 2.5 minutes to summarize your thoughts for the day and for the week, sir.
Yeah, I would, you know, a lot of people have this idea that that they got from these this claim that Russia and China were enemies, and it's a very comforting thought that we don't have two giant countries against us. But this is what the defector Anatoly Golitsyn emphasized in his 1984 book, which everybody at the time, almost everybody, poo-pooed. And of course, Golitsyn was supported behind the scenes by the former counterintelligence staff of the CIA, that the Sino-Soviet split was a fraud, that they exaggerated whatever conflicts they had with each other, because every partnership has disagreements, and they sold this to the West as this as Russia and China nearly being at war. Nevin Gusak has written a book called Golitsyn Vindicated, in which he documents sources showing massive collaboration between the Soviet Union and Communist China when they were supposedly deadly enemies. And the help, I mean, you go back to the Cox Report back in 1999, when Chris Cox was investigating this help that the Clinton administration had given to China, technological help, the big surprise that Chris Cox said in testimony to the Senate was they found how much help that Russia was giving to China to build up China's military and missile and naval and air capacity and nuclear capacity. So this is not something that just happened yesterday. And the defector, Colonel Stanislav Lunev, part of the information he came back with was that during 1991, the last year of the Soviet Union, and 92, Russia and China were getting together and with intensive agreements to cooperate and coordinate this strategy in intelligence and for a future war against the United States, in which they had officially agreed to a dividing of the spoils in North America when they defeated the USA. This was one of the more sensational revelations that he brought to the table when he defected. So the idea that Russia and China are enemies, it's actually a very dangerous idea for us to entertain, because it's wishful thinking. It's like saying, oh, the Nazis aren't going to attack us. They're going to have a civil war. They're going to fight each other because Himmler and Martin Bormann hate each other, right? So, or the SS and the army don't like each other. That's just wishful thinking. That's an excuse to be lax and not be strong and vigilant yourself. So I really don't like that kind of talk, and I hear it so much. It is not something we should be entertaining. We should have defenses strong enough to withstand both Russia and China. We should not talk ourselves into this idea that, oh, they'll never join together. I'm sorry, they already have.
Well said, Jeff. Well said. Have a great week. We'll look forward to hearing you back next Wednesday.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy, cleaners, essential oils now while you can. Your firearms, ammunition, never, ever give your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, large, beautiful state of Texas, and my beautiful state of Missouri. Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.